These are words of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and I probably should call him Paul, the prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see they're from 2 Timothy. So he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure," he means his death, "is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So, just briefly then, because we want time to pray, I find that, and I'm sure you're the same, when you come to the end of a calendar year, the end of 2024, and we look into the new year, I think one of the things that we do is we reflect. I hope we reflect on the past year. And I know when I think back over what's happened even in the last year, but also I can go back further in my life, but when I think back, I think of how faithful God has been to me and to us. Great Lord, you've been so faithful to us. And I know that that faithfulness comes out of his love for us. And the Bible rightly speaks about his love is everlasting. The more we reflect on these things, surely the more thankfulness should well up in our hearts to remember and to think that he knew us before he created the world. He knew our names. His eye has always been upon us. And certainly in the last year, when I think of just some of the, what the world might say, oh, those are mundane things, but I look at them and I think, it's just amazing. The works of our God are amazing. He is an amazing God, and his care for us is so just rich and amazing. And I often think of the words in the Psalms repeated everywhere, "For his mercy is forever, his mercy is forever." So one thing tonight is that opportunity to reflect on the way the Lord has led you and me and us together. And then second thing, I won't be long, the second thing is we always anticipate the new year, don't we? We can't look into the new year because we don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. But it's natural that we think of 2025 and we think about the year to come, if the Lord spares us. And for a start, just to have more days of life. And what is it for? The opportunity to serve the Lord. Every year he grants you, every month he grants you, is an opportunity to live for him. But I also wonder how many of us, I include myself in a way, face the new year with perhaps an element of uncertainty, or maybe even afraid. I don't know how many people here wonder what will happen before the year 2025 is out. Do you ask the question, what awaits me? When I was in school, my headmaster made every child learn the words that George VI read out. They're not his own words, but he read out to the British Empire in 1939. They just entered war, the Second World War. In his Christmas speech or New Year's speech, he read out those words. "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. But he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That will be to you better than light and safer than a known way." I don't know how many people can remember that for yourselves, but it was drummed into me as a young schoolboy. And I think for some of us, the circumstances that we're in, and we think of the new year, and maybe we worry or we are anxious. And There are reasons to be worried, I think. Some people think we're already in World War III. The world's in turmoil. We're living in a country which is in evil days. They now call evil good and good evil. And maybe some of us are asking questions like, perhaps we're wrestling with failing health or the prospect of going into hospital. Maybe some are asking the question, will I be here at the end of the following year? Some of us have struggles and unhappiness in families. And so there are things that make us perhaps tremble a little bit. What will this year hold? And it's because of that I want to say this to you tonight, that you and I can have abundant peace and comfort in the Lord. Okay, that's my point. You and I can have abundant peace. Whatever this year holds, we can have peace and comfort in our God. In our God. We speak about our God. Our God is sovereign. Sovereign. You know what that means, don't you? It means he rules. And everything is under his control. Some of you from years ago would remember David Davis, who went to China. And he often repeated the words, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We're allowed to say that today because he does. So we have the sovereignty of God and his providence. You know, the providence of God orders all our steps. He is the God who knows the end from the beginning. But especially tonight, I want to say this to you. You can have comfort because you know already how it's all going to end, don't you? You know how it's going to end. This is really important. Our end, right? The Bible tells us that our end is victory. Is victory. The Bible often uses the word the crown. The crown. And it's in our passage. Okay? Now, just for a moment, when Paul wrote these words on the service sheet, it's in 2 Timothy, and it's in chapter 4. This is the last letter that he wrote, that we have anyway. And if you think about the Apostle Paul, I don't know what concept you have of his life and your picture of him, but I think of him principally as a preacher, as travelling and bringing the gospel and founding churches. But for the last period of his life, he was Paul the prisoner. Paul was a prisoner. In two of his letters, he speaks like this. He says, "Paul, the prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ." He spent years in Roman imprisonment. Okay? And we don't know for sure the conditions in all those prisons, but he speaks on one occasion of a chain. This chain or these chains. Paul was a prisoner, at least for part of that time, chained up. And on another occasion, in this letter, he tells us how lonely he was. Everyone had left him except for one man, Luke. So he was in prison and chained. And if you look at the text on the sheet carefully, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." What he means is this. There's a Roman soldier outside with a big sword, and the time has come for him to behead me. He was put to death by beheading. They cut his head off. And he was at that point in his life. And I want you to notice what he writes to Timothy in those circumstances. On the sheet he says, "Look, I have finished the race." I finished the race. Before that he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And Paul, you know, at the end of his life, he could say that God, by his grace, had enabled him to stand and withstand all that was thrown against him as a servant of Christ. It's an amazing testimony of grace. I have finished the race. I don't know how many people there are who never finish the race. They run well for a while, but they don't finish the race. But Paul says, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, he speaks to us about the crown. Look at these words. He says, finally, all, now, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. Now, what day is he talking about? What is that day? Well, you might think it's the day when Christ returns. And you might be right. But he's just been talking about the day when he will be beheaded. The day has come when Paul is going to be beheaded. And he says, what he's saying is, at the end of this race, I've just finished this race, the Lord will give me this crown. This crown. And I want you to notice, what I want you to see is this. The Apostle Paul, right, in everything that he faced through all his life and service to the Lord, he knew that at the end of the race, the Lord would give him a crown. A crown. The word crown there means the wreath of victory. It's a glorious prize, if you like, of winning the battle. The crown of righteousness. What is the crown of righteousness? Well, you could say it's the Lord Jesus looking at you and saying, well done. Well done. We know that the great robes of righteousness are Christ's righteousness given to us. But it's also our Lord saying to us, well done. And really, as we come to the end of this year and we face the new year, I just want to say this to you, that the Lord gives us, in his word, the assurance of victory. The assurance of victory. Right? Paul says, henceforth, there is laid up for me that crown, which the Lord will give me in that day. There's the assurance of victory. And you get it, if you still have your service sheets, you get it in Luke 2 as well. He says, these are some of my favourite words. He says in verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, what, to give you the kingdom. And there are even more astonishing words here. It's verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching, who is waiting for him, awake. What do you make of this? Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. I almost wonder how those words ever got into the New Testament. But they're there because he said them. He said them. I can hardly, I can believe it because it's there. But can you imagine, you know, when we've, whatever time the Lord gives us, and whatever Satan's fiery darts might be shot against us, whatever happens, that's how it's going to end. It's ending with the crown. It's ending with Christ. It's ending with the kingdom that God is pleased to give us. It's ending with, can I say it, it's ending with the Lord Jesus coming and sitting with us and serving us. And there's only one more thing to say, and I'll stop then. There's one other thing that the Bible says about this, okay, and it teaches us how we win the victory. And if when you go home, you look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, there's a simple statement. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Oh, our faith. It's the gift of faith and what we believe is the way in which we win this victory and get that crown. And if you want strong faith, right, you've got to be a good listener to the ministry. If you want strong faith, you need to be a Bible reader if you can read. And when we listen to the ministry, we must be careful that we don't harden our hearts and shut out the word. Okay, we must take in the word of Christ. That forms faith within us, and that's the victory. But may God grant us this sense of peace and this sense of assurance that we're not on a road to defeat. We're on a road to victory. Now, it was announced that there's time tonight to pray.